fights. One of these days, these guys are going to learn. You know, George is gone for the summer. It's tough to train these guys. Thank you. I shouldn't pick on him. Well, good morning. I don't normally do this, but I had to do it this week just because I liked it. You know, sometimes usually I try to use jokes and things like that when they actually go with the message. This one has absolutely nothing to do with where we're going today, but I liked it so much and it was so funny that I'm going to share it with you just because. So, an older woman recently returned from her hometown in North Carolina and told a friend they'd spruced up the churchyard cemetery since her last visit several years past. She said, "Lots of new greenery," she said, "and families are together now." "Well," the first replied, "years ago they never all together," her friend asked, kind of puzzled. "And well," the first replied, "years ago they never much worried where they buried someone because everybody was a neighbor anyhow. They just dig a grave wherever it seemed to balance things. But they've redone it so people are with their children and grandchildren instead of scattered." Her friend was just aghast. "You mean they exhumed all those people and reburied them?" "Oh no," was the reply. "They just shifted the headstones." Okay, I'm sick, I know, but I thought it was funny. My uncle is really into genealogy, and he would just be like, "Woo!" Moving the headstones. Yes, okay. How many of you have actually looked at your bulletin this morning? Anybody notice the sermon title? Nobody! Come on. Laundry concerns. Now, I worked hard coming up with these things, and if you guys aren't going to look at them, that's our title, Laundry Concerns. Now we're going to read our scripture passage. Please read it with the title in mind. Go to Romans. I keep wanting to go to Romans, but it's Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. We're going to go through the end of the chapter, which is 39, not like it says 30 in your bulletin. That's because I wrote the wrong numbers down. So, as usual, you need to ignore what I said and listen to what I mean. Okay. Hebrews 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know Him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge His people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you've received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive that which He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. And Lord, we ask now that you would come, send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these words, your words, to our hearts and minds. Lord, give us understanding above and beyond that of human wisdom, but of you. Father, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that you would lead and guide my actions and my words, that I might best communicate your truth. Lord, I pray that if anything that is not of you would be as if it was not spoken, that I would not in any way turn your people to anything other than you. Lord, we pray that all who are here this morning and all who ever hear this message would be blessed. Lord, meant to be blessed by you, the one of grace. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Laundry concerns. Done. Okay, Pastor, I saw that little bit about washing and stuff. Well, that's where we're going with this. Now, how many of you remember that I've told my former life I used to sell stuff? I used to sell stuff at the state fair, the home show, sports show, whatever. First product I started selling was a stain remover. Well, we have a stain remover, which is the blood of Jesus. What stain does it wash away? Our sins. So I don't think I'm reaching too far when I talk about laundry in this. We're going to look at this in the context of laundry. Pastor, you're weird. As a given, we'll go with it. What do you do when you do your laundry? First off, you pre-spot, right? You look for stains. I got a nice shirt here. Don't have any stains. Well, let's put one on. Grape juice. Good stuff. Now, hopefully you can see that. You want a little more on there. You do understand this is a $35 shirt. That's grape juice. Now, Scripture tells us that as part of the purification process, they would take the blood of the sacrifice, mix it with water, and then take hyssop and sprinkle it over everything. And this is how the sins were cleansed. If you would, God's pre-spotter. The blood of Jesus is our stain remover. Now, I have a stain remover mixed with water here, product that I used to use. I'm not going to do a commercial plug for it, but it's good stuff. And when you hit it with the... And I didn't pre-prime this, so... There we go. You can see stains are already beginning just to disappear. We pre-spotted it before it goes into the laundry. Now, if it's a really bad stain, you might go and add direct work on it. Anybody ever put some spotter on something, then kind of rub it in? Well, after you put your stain remover on, what do? You just put it back on? No, you take it and you wash it. As you can see, stain is basically gone. It just needs to be rinsed out now. Here we have the words. It says, "And since you have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water." So it's baptism. We would now take our dirty garment and we would launder it. Put it in the clothes washer. Okay? We do this. This is a cotton shirt. Should I wash it in hot water and put it in dry heat? High heat. Now if I wanted to ever wear it again, right? What happens if we do that? It shrinks. What's the other thing that we see at the end of this passage? We have this concern here that we need to be concerned that our faith not shrink. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back that are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. People, God comes into our life, and Christ washes, the blood of Christ comes, removes our stains. He washes us clean. Then he doesn't want, gives us this huge amount of faith. And then he doesn't want it to shrink. He wants us to stay with that large faith. There's nobody with more faith than a brand new Christian. At least in some sense. You see somebody who just came to know the Lord and they're just all on fire. And they're out talking to people. Well, you can't tell that from there. But they're off. They're doing it. We can't do that. Why not? Well, you haven't learned this lesson and you haven't done that. And, that's just not done that way. Once we get so sanctified, our faith becomes just starts shrinking down, and we only can allow work in these little areas. But a brand new Christian, they don't know that you're not supposed to do this, so they're out doing the work of God. So let's look at this passage with our laundry in mind. We don't want our faith to shrink, and we want our stains removed. We want to be clean. We don't want a shirt that's red with sin, but one that's white and clean. We're told to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, through the opening, the curtain, that is Jesus. We're to draw near to God. We've talked about this several times right of Hebrew has, throughout the letter so far, that Jesus is the one who tore away the curtain. We talked about the Holy of Holies. And now we can enter in through Jesus. And He is the same one who then, with His blood, sprinkles and washes away our sins. Now, after this we have this passage where it talks about those who are about spurring us to come together and about those who don't come together. If I have a dirty sock, do I wash that sock all by itself? Usually not. Usually I would put that sock with a bunch of other dirty clothes. So I have a full load. One sock in a wash machine that's full of water and the edge here doesn't get cleaned as well as a full load. Now you don't want to overfill, but you don't want to underfill either. You can tell I'm an expert on doing laundry. See? If you want it clean, you fill it appropriately. And the coming together of all the stuff in there. Agitating. Cleans it better. Comes out better. You guys, I see you laughing back there. That's okay. Laugh at the pastor. Try it. It works. You wash something all by its lonesome, and it's not going to come out as good as something with the right size load. Don't overfill it. That doesn't work either. So when we talk about coming together, we're not talking about coming together like sardines.
Hey, let's praise the Lord.
No. But neither are we to be alone like, hello, anybody here? I'm just going to worship God all by myself. Need a direction. That's where we're supposed to be, but we are to gather together with the other saints to worship. And as we gather to worship and as we wash our load, if I wanted my shirts clean, would I then take that which stained them in the first place after I'd pre-spotted it and got it ready and dump this whole bottle into the wash? Would I do that? Not if I really wanted to clean. But yet sometimes that's what we do with our lives. Those who go forth and enter into intentional, purposeful sin after they have received God's grace and mercy, they're trampling upon the sacrifice and grace of God. And they're saying, why aren't I clean? You can't bathe in sin and expect to be clean. My shirt's not going to be clean if I wash it in grape juice. Even if I put pre-spotter on it. Even if I take the whole tube of spotter and, well, whatever, you know it's there. If I dump that all in there, it's just not going to work right. And that's the point. The writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us here. You know, it just doesn't work right if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we've received His grace and we've been sprinkled with His blood, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're His, we're now children of God in heaven, washed clean, all these things. And now we're going to go sin? God's forgiven me, so it's free to sin. No, we're free from sin, not free to sin. Distinct difference. Very, very distinct difference. See, we are not to be living in the sin once we've accepted God's salvation. We're to remove ourselves from it. Kind of like what Donna, she asked me to take off my shirt if I'm going to eat good food. Yeah. I she really, you know, it's also the thing that she gets mad at. Thing that really annoys her, and I do it all the time, is I'll come home and there'll be some job, like maybe the car needs to be worked on a little bit. I won't change my clothes before I go start working on it. Oh, how did my clothes get ruined? I don't know. See, this is the application. Don't enter into that. We're not supposed to be doing that anymore. We deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth. No sacrifice for sin is left, but only fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's what happens if we go that way. Now, it doesn't mean that God cannot forgive us even of that. But truly, is He my Lord if I'm in rebellion and willfully sinning? Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told to make sure our salvation. It's not enough that we see Jesus as our Savior. We have to recognize that He is also our Lord and live appropriately. Again, we are to encourage one another. It's not all about me, as much as I might like to think it is. It's not about self. It's about Jesus. It's about God. And when we come together, encouraging one another towards love and good deeds, as we meet together, it's not about us individually, but it's about that then we can better serve God. As we come together, we can better be cleaned. We can be better of use to God. We're better. God's Word is better represented. We need to remember our early, vibrant, fervent faith in the face of opposition. How many of you came to know Christ as an adult? How many here? Yeah. You remember those first days after that first 6 months, the first year, you were just on fire for God? Phyllis, I'm going to pick on you because I know that you can take it. How many women did you pull into your Bible study that first year after you came to know Christ? What? Well, how many were in your Bible study? Yes. And how many here? They weren't all the same people. Some were, but... Okay, so... So you came to know Christ at Bible study. I know this because we've talked about this, but she came to know Christ as she's a member of the Catholic Church. And she's going, wow, this Bible's like this neat thing. So she started... So as they're having this Bible study, she's pulling people in. And how many... Were there people who got saved through the Bible study? Yes. Had you had any instruction on how to run a Bible study? But you did it anyways. You got a college degree in Bible, right? No degree. Not even in it. You got a degree in life of being a mom. But no college. But yet you're teaching people about God through the Word. And people are coming to know Christ. How could you do that? Wasn't it scary? Yeah. But God, you used you, didn't He? And there are people that are here in this church yet today because of your ministry. And there are people who are in other churches. There are people who are in heaven today because of your ministry. because her faith was big. It hadn't shrunk. I'm not saying your faith has shrunk now. But that's what we need to fight against. That's the concern. We're to remember what it was like and what we did then. And those of us who don't have that experience, we're to look at those around us. That's one of the reasons why we're supposed to be washed together. So we can see that experience of each other. And as we see this, we're not to throw away the confidence that we have in the Holy Spirit. You know, I used Swiffy. But I wasn't going to use the product name, I'm sorry. But I used the spot remover for years when I had my carpet and upholstery cleaning company. It was the only product I found that would take out Kool-Aid stains. Now, as a carpet cleaner, I had to use Swiffy, I had to use a spot remover, I had to use vinegar, and I had to use an iron, all three in combination. But it worked. It took it out. Took out the stains, did not damage the carpet, but it removed the stains. Well, after doing that, they asked me if I would be willing to come work a show. They needed somebody to help sell the product. I said, sure. Especially since I was at work. So I came and I sold. And I sold quite a bit. Why? Because I was confident in the product. I knew about the product. I was able to tell people about how to use it. And I sold a lot of it. I made good money at it, too. I was doing well until God called me to be a pastor. Now I do better, just not money. But the point is that I'm confident in the product. I didn't have any worries or concerns about taking my $35 shirt and putting grape juice on it. I knew the Swiffy would take it out. I don't have any concerns. Somebody's got a different phone. It's not mine. I left mine in the office. Got a sermon in here somewhere. I know. I had confidence that even though I haven't been selling the product for years, that I could pull it out, put the grape juice on, and my shirt would not be ruined. Please, God, let it not be ruined. No, I know it's going to be fine. Just as I know and have confidence in God that there is no sin that He cannot overcome. That there is no situation that He does not have power and authority over. There is nothing that is beyond Him. And that if I'm following His leading and guidance, and if I'm doing what it is that He wants me to do, that I'm as safe as I can possibly be, even if I'm having physical issues, financial issues, or whatever, even if I'm facing persecution or something because of it, because ultimately I know that I'm safe because what's my possession in heaven is what's important, my position there. And He holds me, and I can't be plucked out of His hand. That's it. So why should I be afraid of anything or anyone? I shouldn't. I shouldn't let my faith shrink. My faith should be big. It should be full. We don't want it to shrink and be tight and confining. Don't be shrinked. Don't be shrinked. Don't allow your
faith to be shrunk. Not even by those around you. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Believe. And you are saved. Not the belief just in the brain, in the mind, but the belief of the heart that's lived out in your hands and your feet and your mouth. Believe. The one that leads to action. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you do wash us clean. That our laundry concerns are yours. That the stain will be removed. That it will be washed totally clean out. And that you will care for us in such a way that our faith would not shrink. Lord, might we be faithful in living our lives according to your washing directions, which you give us here in the Bible. That our laundry, our lives, might be clean for you. Because you are the one who cleans them up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.